Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know why.
There's
no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Stormy weather.
Since me and my gal ain't been together.
Been together.
Keeps raining all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
Life is bare. And gloom and misery's everywhere. It's stormy weather. Since me and my gal ain't been together. Keeps raining all the time. Since you went away, the blues walked in and met me. You don't come back to stay, oh, rockin' chair again. And all I do is pray that the Lord above will let me
walk in the summer.
Can't go on,
can't go on.
And everything I have is gone. Stormy weather,
stormy weather.
Been together.
Been together.
Keeps raining all the time.
All time, all time, all time, all time.
I picked Stormy Weather. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. You see, Lincoln Chapstick now wants to run for president. You see, the communists are all coming out of the woodwork. What's the other guy's name up in Vermont? Bernie Sanders, real communist. He's coming out of the woodwork. He wants to be president. And the moral of the story is, elect one communist president and soon you'll have three more. And you know what's haunting me? A saying from a cardinal, and I don't know if he passed on, but when he made this statement, I think it was in 2010, and it just got to me. And what was his name? He was the Cardinal of Chicago. And you know what his statement was as the Cardinal of Chicago? I will die in my bed. He who follows me will die in prison. And he who follows him will die in the town square. Isn't that a scary for a cardinal probably in his 80s to make a statement like that? A statement of observation of what he sees in America from the day he was born here? Isn't that scary? It's making me scary. Okay, so we got stormy weather from Cuba to Baltimore. And the moral of the story is, thou shalt not cover thy Cuban neighbor's goods. I love it when communist presidents take over another communist country. Long before Elian Gonzalez was kidnapped on American soil by the Clintonistas with the help of CNN and Geraldo Rivera, then sold to Fidel Castro for future favors. Barack Hussein, what a joke, Obama bin Lenin bin Laden, is now calling in the marker. Having received his special call from the Kremlin that Castro was about to be overthrown by his starving, with the best healthcare, people. Obama bailed out his communist partners in crime. Now it is Democrat leech time as the communist capitalists start to explore the poor of Cuba and swindle them out of any assets they may have left, starting with 1950s baseball cards and classic cars, moving right along to Bacardi rum, a sugar, and those famous cigars. Nothing but communists, NBC, the voice of Obama, has already been granted a boon. Conehead O'Brien, a.k.a. Gippo the Informer, has done the first Obama-controlled show from Havana. Now we hear that Cuba has minerals, including gold teeth, which will be mined by friends of Obama and Hillary, hot, 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 Clinton. And this is all with the blessings of the Demo Camo supporters, who will be the first into Cuba to sample low-priced hookers, $3 beachfront hotel rooms, and 11 cents Cuba Libres, not to mention buying drugs direct from the factory. To return home, to brag, they only tipped 25 cents to the little skinny Cuban who carried all 9 bags at once. You might say this is fiction, but I say I'm pretty close to the truth. Bartender, champagne, and read this man his merengue warning. You want the merengue warning? Okay. Have you been good? Man, merengue rights.
You're under arrest. Sergeant, read this man his merengue rights.
Para aquellos que se quejan tanto, para aquellos que solo critican, para aquellos que usan las armas, para aquellos que nos contaminan, para aquellos que hacen la guerra, para aquellos que viven pecando, para aquellos que nos maltratan, para aquellos que nos contagian.
Okay. We're gonna scour the blogs, and the first thing that comes up is Front Page Magazine or frontpagemag.com. And this is a guy who's well familiar with communist colleges. And I sent him an email, but he probably marked it spam. And I asked him if he could give me a list of a rating of all the communist colleges in the United States, because that's where we're going to lose the country. The Soviets know that. Oh, the Soviets never died, by the way. They just took down the logo. But the logo will be back once they invade the United States. Oh, they're not coming. That's right. I forgot. We are the strongest nation on the face of the earth. Just ask Al Gore and Joe Liverwurst. They were dancing on a party platform, shouting those very words as a box cutter in the Hindu Kush was being sharpened for a plane ride. Yes, you remember 9-1-1? I'll give you a memory of 9-1-1 tonight before I close. I'll remind you of 9-1-1. And to all those little rat fink communist bastards who say we didn't have to go to Iraq, they weren't on the 80th floor on 911. They weren't calling home to their mother and getting a busy signal. They weren't part of the 343 firemen who died in the stairwells. Some died in the stairwells and some died saving strangers. And communists have told us their cause was a failure. But they loved their dear country and never feared danger. Glorio, glorio to the brave New York men. And anybody who has served and fought in Afghanistan and Iraq and anywhere else that we have to go to avenge 9-1-1, you are 9-1-1 New Yorkers, whether you come from Podunk, whether you come from a little town in Montana, sir. You are a 9-1-1 New Yorker, and you put it all on the line for guys like me and my family, and we don't forget. As a matter of fact, our 9-1-1 slogan is, we forget nothing, and we haven't even begun to pay back. We just waiting for the right guy to say, bring it on. We thought we had the right guy. He said it, but then he chickened out. But he didn't chicken out as much as Redline Obama. I draw this line on Syria. If they cross this line, I draw another line. Yeah. His claim to fame is he sodomized Gaddafi. Yeah. And you know what happened? Gaddafi's boys sodomized his ambassador, who he left to die and went to sleep while they cried for help. Yes, the ghosts of four will not go away as long as you are our communist president and the money-grubbing Secretary of State. Who was the last one to talk to those guys on the phone? Who hung up the phone? Who gave the order to hang up the phone? We're going to get you. God gets even. Baltimore burns while Obama plots. This is from Front Page, and it's by a guy named Matthew Vadum. Government paid agitators are on the streets of Baltimore pouring grease on the fires. I just saw a legal advisor to NAACP giving Kelly a hard time, playing the race card. The race card is all played out, and even the blacks are getting fed up with it. When you see a mother pull her son out of a terrorist line, wearing a hood and a mask, and she's beating the crap out of him on the way home. She saved his life. She knows. That mother knows the score. God bless her. God bless her. They'll get dirt on her. They'll say she had five husbands. You watch. They'll expose her. But she was there. She was Joan of Arc of Baltimore. Yep. And everybody that was around, they didn't pay no attention. It was just Mama beating up Junior. Yeah. And Junior's a lucky guy. His mama is caring for him. She could have kicked him out the door like a dog. But she came and got him. She got him. She saved his life. And he better straighten up and fly right. And get out of the ghetto, man. Work your way out of the ghetto. It's only drugs and death waiting for you in that ghetto. That used to be a poor neighborhood, and then the Democrats brought the drugs in. And now it's a ghetto. And they're siphoning off all the money that's supposed to go there. I don't know if I'm going to run across this. I wrote an article on it, and I may not get a chance to read it. But while it's fresh in my mind, I'm going to tell you something. You see that five-story building that the thugs burned down? And let me tell you something. They're saying, oh, their children, they're 13, 14, and 15. In Africa, nine-year-olds are executing their mothers so that they can join Boko Haram. Yeah, so don't give me this age group crap. Yeah. And in the Middle East, there's kids that are executing guys on their knees for their daddy. Daddy shows him how to hold the pistol and put it to the guy's head. And the kid looked like about 9 years old, maybe eight. And he pulled the trigger on a Christian head. Yeah, to the shouts of Allahu Akbar. And God is great. And God is going to get on you people. And I got news for you, you jihadists. It's very hot in paradise. Baltimore burns while Obama plots. Government-paid agitators are on the streets of Baltimore pouring grease on the fire. Want to read more about that? This is an organized thing, and tonight they're in New York. This is all communism at work. Communism infiltrated black communities back in 1914. In Queens, New York, at a garage man's association, Russian communists were preaching revolution. And they were rounded up and shipped home. That's how long the communists have been working on black communities. You know what Lenin calls people that can be manipulated? Useful idiots. President Obama is trying to make things worse. This is what this guy is saying. It is an incredible non-coincidence. The rioting follows a weekend rally by the Occupy Wall Street-like Baltimore People's Assembly. You know, it's really sad. It's really sad. But the colleges are in bad shape. The colleges are communist oriented, and they give pablum to, they're like Pavlov's dogs, the students. They're getting credits for going out and demonstrating. What's that got to do with a business degree? What's that got to do with a liberal arts program? What's that got to do with accounting? It's a joke, man. It's a joke. And these professors should all be in Gitmo. Maybe that's what we got to do. We got to round up all the college professors and send them to Gitmo. And they're doing the death penalty. They're saying one of the chemicals for death by injection doesn't work. And somebody suggested, well, you know what you do? Strap the guy in the gurney just like he's going to get the hypodermic, and just have a guy walk over and put a bullet in him. Yeah, Mafia wants to bid on it. We'll show you how to do a hit. Don't worry. This guy won't even know he's dead. In an incredible non-coincidence, the rioting follows a weekend rally by Occupy Wall Street, totally communist controlled. And you want to know the symbol of Occupy Wall Street? It's a hippie taking a crap with his pants down on a police car. That's their symbol, their fighting symbol. And that's what they did in New York. And if Giuliani had been mayor, they'd all be in Gitmo. Maybe it's it. We'll let the terrorists go, and we'll put all these communist troublemakers in Gitmo and revoke their citizenship. Yeah, we'll watch them play the Constitution on you. There also was a first wave of rioting over the weekend. Outside activists have been flooding into Baltimore, and nobody's recording this. The police should have been, they should have been checking addresses, names and addresses, but they can't. Their hands are tied, just like the American troops. Can you believe there are guys getting 15 to 18 to 20 years in Fort Leavenworth on the trumped up charges, the politically correct, communist inspired trumped up charges of premeditated murder on the battlefield? Can you believe that some poor bastard who took an oath to serve this and defend this country is rotting away in Fort Leavenworth, and his family is left to live a life of disgrace and poverty, and all their benefits stop, and their primary wage earner is sitting in a jail cell, and a lot of them are convicted by panels of judges, military judges, who have no combat experience? A panel of six, not one, had combat experience that convicted Evan Vaylor. And the story of Evan Vaylor was he was on a sniper mission, a three-man team, outside an Iraqi village. And a guy got too close to their concealed position, and the commander, who was in charge, jumped the guy, knocked him down, held him down, and ordered Vaylor to shoot him in the head. Vaylor shot him in the head. When they got back to camp, all three were charged with premeditated murder. The commander and one guy who was intimidated on testifying against Vaylor, or he would get suffer worse than what Vaylor was going to get, was coerced into testifying against Vaylor. The commander and the guy who testified against Vaylor was sent back to, I think, Fort Bragg. They were charged at Fort Bragg. They were court-martialed. They were found not guilty. Vaylor was almost turned over to an Iraqi court. He was set up and sold out. But they held a trial in an Iraqi court under American supervision. And they sentenced Vaylor. They found him guilty. And they sentenced him to 15 to 20 years in Fort Leavenworth, where he is now. His wife and two kids live in Alaska. They had to sell their home, so they had to go to Fort Leavenworth to be closer to their father. And you know, she's got no benefits, no health benefits. She's got no income. She has to go out and get a job. And she's on near poverty level. And she's not the only one. And you would think Obama would pardon a black guy. There's a guy named Derek Miller. He's got two daughters, and his wife is begging that he get a retrial. And he's a sergeant, and he was also charged with premeditated murder. And that's two I know about. There's probably at least a dozen more that nobody knows about. And Bush should have pardoned everybody that was involved in Abu Ghraib. When Bush left office, he should have signed their pardons. And he definitely should have signed Campion and Ramos's pardons and reinstated their position in the border guard. But you see, it's not only Obama that wants open borders. The Bushes do too. And that's why we got to say, no more dynasties, no more Bushes. We got to get a good, we're going to need somebody that can take us through a nuclear war, because we're going to get one. And it'll come from just like 9-1-1, it'll come when you least expect it and you won't know where it came from. Okay, so a CVS store was looted and set on fire. Rioters chopped up fire hoses to prevent firefighters from doing their job. Criminal gangs have declared open season on cops. The Crips and the Bloods who have ruined. You have no idea what they've ruined, these people. And they're into drugs. Drugs suck. Drugs is the enemy of the American people. Drugs is a communist plot. Just get red cocaine. I can't remember the author's name. But the cover has Lenin on the cover with a hypodermic needle in a hammer and sickle and crack. And it's called Red Cocaine. And it goes all the way back to 1929 when Mao Zedong said, we're going to grow opium to kill Americans. And they built routes through South America up to the United States. The Chinese did it first, and then the Russians, when they discovered the Chinese were doing it, they built their own routes, okay? And now they're all here. And yet you can bring anything up a drug route. You can bring anthrax. You can bring a nuclear bomb. And do you know that some nuclear bombs only have to be the size of a baseball? Okay. So we're talking about Baltimore. Baltimore is now a war zone. Understandably, the Baltimore Orioles announced on Twitter at 6:20 last night that the game with the Chicago White Sox scheduled for 7:05 has been postponed. There's young blacks who worked at that stadium. They lost money, okay? And they're going to lose more money, okay? And what people are now saying and realizing that all these ghetto communities have Democrat mayors, Democrat governors, and they've got Democrat hell. And the Democrats exploit them and use them for votes. And that's it. And my political opinion is the Democrat Party is now the Communist Party. Okay. So we're going back into Baltimore. Now, there was a five-story building in Baltimore that was being built, and it was to serve the elderly community in that neighborhood. Now, a five-story building of that size, okay, there's one in my neighborhood, and it takes care of the elderly. Do you know how many people are employed in this one in my neighborhood? 600 people. There's 600 people in that Baltimore community that could have jobs when that building opened. So who are they hurting? They're in play. They're in play. They don't even know it. They're called useful idiots by Lenin. And the communists will tell you, so what if they die? You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And that's how they consider the lives of the people in that community. They do not care. And my question is, was that mayor who told the police to stand down? Was she told to stand down by Washington? Okay. So then they go into the death of Trayvon Martin. But you can see, these, here's a side just looking at this. Clinton aide gets life in prison. He looks Iranian. It's unbelievable. I'm going to jump to a tune, and I'm going to give you a little Baltimore Oriole. It's an old song written by a guy named Hoagie and Carmichael. Yep. When America did its own. When America was America, we made our own stuff. We made our own laws. And life was a beautiful thing. Until you get rid of drugs, you'll never be happy. And you'll always be a victim. And so now they want to, the drug dealers now want to make sure that all their customers are out on the street. They want to take them out of prison. You see what they did in Indonesia to drug dealers? Huh? They executed 8 of them. They spared one. They spared a Filipino guy. So why can't I find Baltimore Oriole? Oh, that's a shame. I'm going to have to hunt for it, and I don't want to waste your time. So I'm going to give you a Zing with the Strings of My Heart.
From the start, something inside of me started a symphony. Sing with the strings of my heart.
What was like a breath of spring?
Found that story. Clinton aide gets life in prison. It gets sicker, man. An Islamic terrorist leader who jumped straight from his job at the Clinton Foundation to a post with Egypt's jihadist Muslim Brotherhood has received a life sentence back home for seditious activities. It provides yet more damning proof of the ties of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton to totalitarian Muslims while throwing more light on the shady goings-on of the terrorist-friendly International Cash for Favors Clearinghouse, known as the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. The endlessly corrupt foundation, which has taken oceans of cash from Islamic regimes that persecute women and religious dissenters. Do you know what the Afghans do, the Taliban does to a woman if they find displeasure with her? Do you know what they do? Cut her nose on an angle so she looks like a pig. How's that? Is that beastly or what? The endless corrupt foundation, which has taken oceans of cash, was profiled at length by this writer last week on Front Page. And that his name is Matthew Vadum. Professional propagandist Gehad El Haddad, who worked for the Clinton Foundation for 5 years, was one of the more than 35 other Islamo-fascist defendants in the case to receive life imprisonment for anti-government activities from Judge Mohammed Nagi Shahata earlier this month. The court also confirmed death sentences to another dozen or so defendants. You see what they did in Indonesia for drug dealers? They shot them all. 8 guys got busted for drugs and they got executed. 1 Filipino they let go when they gave him a shorter sentence. Okay. Fun fact, Gihad is the Egyptian version of the Arabic word jihad. According to the New York Times, the defendants were reportedly accused of joining a command center during an August 14, 2013 Islamist sit-in at Cairo's Rabah Adawiya Square that sought to spread chaos across Egypt. The Egyptian army did a wonderful job and so did General Sisi. I joke, I say he's going to convert to Catholicism and take the name Francis of. But anyway, the Muslim Brotherhood-led protest was in support of President Obama's Islamist ally, the now deposed Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi. I got to tell you something. I never realized that Jimmy from Brooklyn reminded me of it. But the Shah of Iran was toppled by the Soviets. Remember that. The Shah of Iran was toppled by the Soviets. Google it. Check it out. Fact check. With the help of Jimmy Carter, who kept the football 9 miles away. And I'm sure the Soviets, when they planned their war games, said, now remember, Jimmy has the football 9 miles away. How many sites can we wipe out before Jimmy gets the football? Oh, that could never happen. We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. How about we're now the land of the freaks and the home of the broke? When was the last time you had money in your pocket? You don't have any money because your government is robbing you blind. You are a tax sucker. There should be no taxes over the first 40 hours of your primary job, and any other job you have to work to make ends meet should be tax-free. And how come nobody's pitching that fact, that wish? Morsi, whose rhetorical repertoire seems limited to calling Jews bloodsuckers and the descendants of apes and pigs himself, received a 20-year prison sentence this month. And his Muslim Brotherhood organization is now officially banned in the Arab Republic. I got to tell you, Egypt could be a gold mine in the Middle East. If they could get rid of the terrorists and make Egypt the safest country in the Middle East, they would all have jobs and they'd all be racking in tourist money. Hillary Clinton, of course, headed the U.S. Department of State during the Egyptian Revolution of 2011 that ousted longtime U.S. ally and anti-Islamist Hosni Mubarak. Hosni Mubarak was faithful to Israel. He was faithful to his commitment to Israel. He was faithful to his commitment to the United States. And we sold him out just like Jimmy Carter sold out the Shah of Iran. Haddad was a city director, a senior communications post at the Clinton's charity from August 2007 to August 2012. And those who support the global war on terror should bear in mind that Haddad's experience at the foundation undoubtedly helped him to gain know-how to participate in building a state terror apparatus and other oppressive institutions that would be required to turn Egypt into a totalitarian theocracy, which is the Brotherhood's objective. Muslim Brotherhood also, I believe, killed the pipe-smoking general who signed the agreement, the peace agreement with Menachem Begin, I believe. Anwar Sadat. Yep, and he got gunned down in a reviewing stand of a parade, and the Muslim Brotherhood came off the truck with machine guns, and they gunned down everybody in the reviewing stand. These people, they play for keep. The Clinton Foundation's climate initiative, which he worked on in Egypt, taught Haddad about managing a non-governmental organization. It's an NGO. And the role that civil society takes between the state and private sector. Lessons he is applying to the Renaissance Project, according to the Egyptian Independent. And he became a senior advisor for foreign affairs in Morsi's Freedom and Justice Party. And then it goes on. But basically, you just got to know he's dirty and she's dirty. And we're getting soiled. Mrs. Clinton said, during Hillary's tenure at Foggy Bottom, I don't like that word, Foggy Bottom. The entry ban applying to Islamic scholar, stealth jihadist, a terrorism funder, and grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Tariq Ramadan, was lifted. She's dirty. The whole party is dirty. And if you want to survive as an American, you have to get rid of the Democrat Party and the 20 rhinos who are undercover Democrats. You got to get rid of them. Get rid of the rhinos first because they're doing the most damage. Then you can go in and you can clean house. You know what I'm saying? You can clean house. I'm looking for. Otherwise, you know what'll happen? IRS will get you.
I heat up, I can't cool down. IRS got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. My 501c, nobody knows. Every time I submit a name, it heats up like a burning flame. Tea party names flame that fire. The FBI taps my wire. Abracadabra. They're going to reach out and grab ya, abracadabra. 3 years now to get approved. IRS agents on my roof. Asking questions like who I know. What's my religion and church I go. They look for buzzwords like conservative speak. How many members in the Catholic League? Abracadabra, abracadabra. They're going to reach out and grab ya. A committee is formed to check out crime. Loaded with democracies who stall for time. Steve Miller denies and sings the blues. He know nothing, only sees the news. I see discrimination in their eyes. They're going after the Christian guys. Just when you think they're going away, another audit come today. Abracadabra, abracadabra, they want to reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra. No one knows the next in command. They could not run a lemonade stand. Abandon troops on land and sea. Arrest everyone who wants more tea. Kill the kids before they see. Sell taxable dope to you and me. At this rate, we'll be free. Abracadabra, they're gonna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra. The hearing time, the Dems are slowing. A lot of BS they be throwing. If you catch a czar, they are outgoing. The rest of us are getting a lot of snowing. Abracadabra, they gonna reach out and grab ya.
There's a guy that's on Fox a lot. I think he's with National Review. Is that the one that Bill Buckley founded? His name is Lowry. His last name is Lowry. He was defending Je suis Charlie and their freedom of speech. And, of course, everybody agrees, you know, what happened to Je suis Charlie was terrible. And that they do have a right to freedom of speech. But nobody looked any further than the death of Je suis Charlie and the gunning down of their employees in the office to see what upset the Muslims. What upset the Muslims was a drawing, a cartoon drawing, of the Prophet Muhammad, whose image they cannot show. It's against their religion to show an image of the Prophet Muhammad. And if they do show anything, he's faceless. Well, the cartoon showed the Prophet Muhammad with his testicles hanging out, and he was being sodomized by another Muslim. So when you're dealing with primitive people who are deeply religious in their religion, whether you like their religion or not, you have infuriated them. You must expect the expect consequences. So I did a little research, you know, to see what this Je suis Charlie is all about. When I seen that, I could understand why Muslims got upset. And then I dug a little deeper, and this Je suis Charlie is he's into a lot of anal sex, and his team is into anal sex. And I found other cartoons attributable to Je suis Charlie. One is the Blessed Mother with her legs open shooting out a kid. Okay? Another one is the Pope saying Mass, and instead of holding up the host at the most holiest part of the Mass, he's holding up a condom. And another one was the Blessed Trinity, the Father being sodomized by the Son, and the Son being sodomized by a triangle. Reference to the Holy Spirit, 3-in-1. How's that? Nobody went that far to see what was going on. And here you got a conservative defending, and he's probably a Catholic conservative, defending Je suis Charlie. Rule number one, you got to remember, Europe is gone. Europe is no more. It belongs to Islam. Europe is finished. Just see the boatloads of Ethiopians and Somalis coming into Italy. When the Muslims say they will fly the Islamic flag over the Vatican, they may not be too far away. So be careful before you start shouting freedom of speech. You got to be careful who you offend. People who have good taste, and they take it very personal if you attack their religion. Okay, so having said that, I'm now going to I found the song I wanted to play for Baltimore. The name of his tune is by the Four Freshmen. It's called Baltimore Oriole.
Took a look at the Mercury 42. No life for a lady to go dragging her feathers around in the snow. Leroy.
leaving me blue. Off she flew to the Tangi for home, where a two-time and jaybird met the divine missile. I'd like to ruffle his plumage, Baltimore Oriole. Flew round with this jaybird till he burned her wings. But forgiving is easy, she's woman like now and then might happen to things. Send her back home, but alone. Home ain't home without her warbling. How she'd sing, make a lonely man happy. Baltimore, Oriole. Send her back home and alone. Home ain't home without her warbling. How she'd sing, make a lonely man happy. Baltimore, Oriole, come down from your bough, fly to your daddy now.
Back in the day, that would be considered hip. Okay, I found something from a guy who's a real expert on colleges. He is attacked and booed when he preaches conservatism. His name is David Horowitz. He grew up in a communist family. He was a communist in his younger years, and he did a 180. When he's seen what they were all about. So here's what he says. Americans are shocked when a news report reveals that an American has turned up in Syria fighting for the terrorists. If the jihadist is then identified as a Somali immigrant who settled in Minnesota but never assimilated to the American way, yeah, the melting pot is clogged. Never assimilated to the American way of life, there is a sigh of relief, perhaps accompanied by concern that so many immigrants are currently coming from regions plagued by religious hatreds and terrorist wars. The concern is real, but the relief is a false one, based on the misunderstanding of many dimensions of the grand jihad being waged by terrorist parties like the Muslim Brotherhood and Hillary Clinton's campaign fund. This week, I traveled to the Midwest to speak at Ohio State, home of the Buckeyes, to an audience of 130 students. That's not a lot of students, is it? My subject was the campus war being waged against Israel by two student fronts for the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Students Association, and the Committee for Justice in Palestine. These groups are not themselves terrorists, but they are carrying out a propaganda war crafted by terrorists that is designed to help Hamas obliterate the Jewish state. Anybody that's Jewish, I got to tell you, anybody that's Jewish that's voting Democrat, you're selling your people out. You're no different than the guys that were killing the Jewish people in the concentration camps for the Germans. You're no different. You're selling out your people, whether you believe in Judaism or not. You're selling out your heritage. You're selling out the people who came before you. And that goes for the Irish Catholics, too. If you're Irish Catholic and you're in the party of death, you're a traitor. More than half the students attending were members of the two organizations and supporters of Hamas. He had 130 people, so he really had about 60 people. I attempted to refute the lies that were spreading at Ohio State. Israel is an occupier of Palestinian land. Israel is an apartheid state. Their Jewish targets, I explained, were just the canaries in the mine. Already there were far more Christians slaughtered by the soldiers of Mohammed and Muslims too. But those numbers, I said, will be dwarfed should the day come when the Islamic Republic of Iran drops a nuclear bomb on Tel Aviv. Let me tell you, the day that Iran drops a bomb on Tel Aviv, not only do they kill Jews, they're wiping out Palestine. Because it's like being in Brooklyn in Queens. As I also said, our innocent, let me see. The Muslim Students Association, which is a presence on more than 100 campuses, is supported by college funds and accorded campus privileges. It is a recruitment organization for the Muslim Brotherhood. Many members of the MSA, as I have always also said, are innocent of the True Agendas organization. Those with political potential are selected for training seminars taught by Brotherhood leaders. 9 former presidents of MSA have gone on to high-level careers with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. The most famous is Anwar al-Awlaki, formerly the head of Al-Qaeda in the Yemen, killed by a U.S. drone strike. Before that, Al-Awlaki was the president of the Muslim Students Association in Colorado State. I think all our colleges are communist compromised. And the communists have infiltrated the Catholic religion and they've infiltrated the Muslim religion. And any splinter group is communist controlled and they don't know it. The centerpiece of the pro-terrorist propaganda campaigns conducted by these groups on American campuses is a Hamas-created 4-panel map. The map purports to show that a Muslim state called Palestine, colored in green, existed in 1946 and was then infiltrated by Jews, represented by the color white, until a point is reached at which Palestine is completely occupied. The map, like the other Hamas propaganda points placed by the students on their apartheid walls, is a lie. There was no Palestinian state in 1946. There was no self-identified Palestinian cause until 1964, when the Arabs dropped their stated goal to push the Jews into the sea and formed the PLO to protest Jewish occupation of their alleged homeland. The 60 or so student supporters of these Hamas agendas remained civil during my talk. No doubt the presence of 8 armed police, the university assigned, had something to do with it. When I finished, about 20 of them lined up at the microphone. From the moment the first one began to speak, it was clear this was going to be an orchestrated protest. You got to give this guy a lot of credit. Instead of asking questions, they read speeches off their cell phones. Because the speeches had been written before I spoke, they were not responses to anything I actually said, but more Hamas propaganda. You said that all Muslims are terrorists. In fact, I said exactly the opposite, that most Muslims were law-abiding people and only wanted peace, and that many Muslims were in fact being slaughtered and oppressed by Islamic terrorists, including the Palestinians of Gaza and the West Bank. However, my words fell on deaf ears, as they had all evening. Not only the comments, but the cheers for the pro-Hamas speakers made this abundantly clear. These thoroughly indoctrinated young Americans committed to a genocidal cause. Among them was an elected member of the student government at Ohio State, who volunteered that he had prepared a proposal on behalf of the committee for Justice in Palestine, requesting student funds to finance its pro-terrorist propaganda campaign. This worries me even more than the Somali volunteer from Minnesota. We are totally penetrated. We're face down, pants down. And here's some comments. These organizations should not be on American college campuses. Get rid of the communists first and get rid of them second, because the communists are a greater threat. And they can pivot. They can go from Islamo-terrorist problems. They can go to the African-American problem. They can go to a gay problem. The communists are the biggest threat. And all the splinter groups are in play, and they're controlled by the Communist Party, in my humble opinion. But the diversity is our strength. Meme rules the day. Just try to eliminate some of these left-wing kook groups. See, it's left-wing. That's what, from any college campus. And you would be a surprise. You would be a surprise, a racist, because you hate diversity. Multiculturalism has been nothing but a Trojan horse that has infected America in many very onerous ways. Every day, ACLU goes to the Supreme Court to take another piece of the Constitution. Every day, without fail, they're there. Every day, Democratic chop shops murder 4,700 American babies under the pretense of what? What's the pretense? There is no pretense, and there is no choice in pro-choice. Muslims in America, this is another comment. Muslims in America conceal their Islamic bigotry in the guise of Marxist social justice. That might be the reverse. And this will distort, lie, and fabricate in order to further their Islamist goals. They have seen the success of communist instigations and how successful they've been, especially in the black movement. And so Muslims are doing the same thing. They're playing the race card. Right, they call you a Islamophobe. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, there are Enviro-Leninists, there are Afro-Leninists, there are, you name it, and the word Leninist to it, and that's what they've gotten, that's what they're doing. As an Ohio State grad, this is Rugger, long ago, class of 73, I'm ashamed of what has become of my beloved school. I'm appalled that you only attracted 130 listeners on a campus of thousands, most of whom were plants of the MSA, and that a student government official was sucked in by this obvious propaganda. What has become of intellectual inquiry? Wouldn't even a cursory review of history show that the MSA and Justice for Palestine are front groups? And here's a guy named Martin. Jew hatred always starts on the campus, and then it spreads all over. Soon America will be like France or England. England went communist right after World War II. When they took the man who saved their lives, had to dance on one leg to get American cooperation, and was the minority trying to get majority opinion, Winston Churchill, and they voted him out of office. That was the beginning of the end of England. In countries that don't have many Jews, this is by I Love Israel, in countries that don't have many Jews, the Muslims are slaughtering Christians. Martin says Jew hatred always starts on the campus, then it spreads all over. Soon America will be like France or England, where a Jew is not safe in the streets. About a year ago, I said, I got a feeling that the French police stations have new Jew lists for when the time comes. And when I seen Bibi Netanyahu going there, he wasn't going there for Jesuit Charlie. He was going there for the Jewish people. And when he got there, he told them, come home. Get the hell out of here. Is he a sage? Does he see the handwriting on the wall? Does he know what's happening? Now, anti-Semitism is also created by Jewish people. There's Mikey Weinstein, who's trying to get God out of the military. He's trying to get Christianity out of the military. He has done more to raise the temperature of anti-Semitism in this country than any other person I know. And Sarah Silverman is also another one, the comedian. She has kicked up anti-Semitism by 10 degrees. And there's another Weinstein in Hollywood who does the same damage. So sometimes Jewish people can be the Jewish religion's worst enemy. And we don't need that. I'm speaking as an Irishman, but I got foreskin in the game. We don't need that. And by the way, there used to be 5,000 Irishmen in the Negev desert back in the 50s. Before this 64 Palestinian state. They were exiled there by the British because they were troublemakers at home. They were suspected. So there was 5,000 of them in the Negev desert. And when Israel made its bid for freedom, they stood with Israel. So we got a little bit of skin in the game. Nobody knows that, but you can Google it, you'll find it. Guest worker, you might as well have been talking to the trees as these Muslim student organizations. Yeah, they do not listen. They have one-track minds and that's it. And based on what I've seen, any Muslim in any Western country is a potential ticking time bomb for going full jihadi at any time. And Obama knows that. That's why he's bringing them here as quickly as he can. They could be sitting in a classroom one day and sawing someone's head off the next. This is true. And you want to know something about Palestinians? Arabs don't like them. You can't believe that, right? They went to Jordan and Jordan threw them out. They went to Tunisia and Tunisia threw them out. Because when they get in, they try and take over. I'm sure you'll check other Arab countries. You'll find if they've been there, they've been thrown out. I was in Kuwait. All the taxi cabs at the time I was in Kuwait, right after the liberation of Kuwait, I was with a Lebanese Frenchman who was a graduate of Notre Dame and an American citizen, I think by birth. And he spoke Arabic and he took me around and helped me do business. He took me under his wing. And we jumped in. All of the taxi cabs in Kuwait at that time were red Chevy Caprices. And we jumped in a red Chevy Caprice and we thought it was a cab and it turned out to be a guy's private vehicle. And in the front seat, he had an AK-47 covered by another headscarf. And on the dashboard, he had a Koran. So when my friend saw the AK-47, he said, what are you doing, hunting Iraqis? He says, no, we're hunting Palestinians. And the reason that Kuwaitis were hunting Palestinians is Kuwaitis believed that before Saddam invaded, the Palestinians transferred all their money out of the country. So the Palestinians knew that the Kuwaitis, who they worked for, were going to be invaded by Saddam. So they outlawed all Palestinians and ordered them all out of the country. They seized all their businesses. And I was at a roadblock. They have ring roads over there. And I was at a roadblock coming up on a ring road. And a Kuwaiti soldier or policeman saw my passport, American. He gave me a big smile. Hello, how are you? You know, how's everything? We love America. And in the car next to me, they were dragging out two Palestinians. A tow truck was taking the car, and they were taking the Palestinians to the airport and threw them out. I had dinner with a Palestinian who was a real good guy, real American, and he was leaving Kuwait because he had three stores that they just confiscated. and he was very bitter. The president of the National Bank of Kuwait was Palestinian, and the Kuwaitis went to the Emir of Kuwait and said, "This man is very valuable. We cannot operate without him." And the Emir said, "If you can't operate without him, close the bank." And they said, "No, it's okay. We can do without him." And that's the story about persona non grata Palestinians. For what it's worth. And now people, America is just learning the difference between Sunni and Shia. Dwayne Robertson says, "I fear Front Page Mag has once been been attacked. This is the second day without email or access." That's interesting, huh? Here's what Jeff Morney says. "Our university system has fallen down the same well in which the public school system fell two decades ago. I got to tell you, I seen a preschool boy come home with a coloring book from school, from public school. A preschool boy. And it was a girl's coloring book. He's coloring dresses, he's coloring pocketbooks, he's coloring shoes and bathing suits. I saw a six-year-old girl sing the words to, oh, what's the name of the song? It's all about having a big booty because boys love big booty. Build Up the Bass. A six-year-old girl is singing Build Up the Bass. I see the homework that's coming home. It's in English and Spanish. First graders are being taught Spanish. I don't care if they're taught Spanish. Learn two languages, that's fine. But it's not that. It's the indoctrination that I don't like. It has nothing to do with Spanish. It has everything to do with Pavlov's dogs. Kim says, "This really bothers me. I'm doing all I can to spread David's word and wake up the parents of this new pro-Hamas thuggery. And once they are strong, you will find, you will see the difference. You might see a guy have his throat cut in the classroom, and a judge will slap the hand of the guy who did it." Suicide bombings they talk about. "And the U.S. Congress must defund any education centers that condones, promotes, or supports racism, genocide, or fanaticism." They're not going to do it. The Democrat Party is the Communist Party, and their goal is to align themselves with Putin in the New World Order. And you don't believe that. That's because you haven't been back to the USA.
To the USA.
Have a nice night, folks. Nice weather's coming.